Welcome, everyone. My name is Coley. Thanks for joining us with our online services. I just want to encourage you, if you have any prayer requests, any need in this season, please follow up with us. You can contact us via our app or on the website. We want to know how we can be praying for you in this season and walking through this pandemic with you. I have a few announcements for us today. The first one is your giving and generosity. Thank you so much for your ongoing support. We are just blown away by the generosity of this church. I just want to remind you, if you want to give online, you can go to either our app or our website and click on the Give tab. That will bring you to an online screen. And if you are old-fashioned, if you want to write a check, that's awesome. We ask that you make all checks payable to Christian Assembly Church, and you can mail them to the address on the screen or the one on our website. So thank you so much for that. I also want to let you know that for today, for some of you, this might be an opportunity for you to follow Jesus. You might make a decision to live your life for Christ. And I want to say, if that's you, congratulations. We want to know about that. We want to celebrate that with you. So if that is you, I want to encourage you to email us at the address listed below. That way a pastor on staff can follow up with you. We can be in contact with you. We don't want you to be alone in this. We want to invite you into the family of believers. So if that's you, please follow up with an email after service, and we will reach out to you and follow up accordingly. So thanks for everyone who's been with us. We encourage you to stay tuned in throughout our service. I'm going to be on the other side of it, so I look forward to seeing you there. But before we jump into service, let's pray together. Father, thank you so much that your love covers us, God, and that perfect love casts out fear. So, Lord, we just pray today, wherever we are, God, that you would enter this space and that you would make your presence known, Father. We lift up everything that we are to you, and we glorify you in this season. Would you bring us your truth and your word today? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
What a privilege, what a joy it is to be together, to sing the praises of our God. Let's sing this song. Come, let us worship.
Come, let us worship our King. Come, let us bow at His feet. He has done great things. See what our Savior has done. See how His love overcomes. He has done great things. He has done great things.
He's the hero of heaven. Let's sing about it.
So hero of heaven, you conquered the grave. You free every captive and break every chain. Oh God, you have done great things.
We dance.
Cause we dance in your freedom, awake and alive. Oh Jesus, our Savior, your name lifted high. Oh God, you have done great things.
Let's sing, you've been faithful.
You've been faithful through every storm. You'll be faithful forevermore. You have done great things.
I know you're gonna do it again.
And I know you will do it again. For your promise is yes and amen. You will do great things. God, you do great things.
Oh hero,
oh hero of heaven, you conquer the grave. You free every captive and break every chain. Oh God, you have done great. Your freedom, awake and alive. Oh Jesus, our Savior.
know, the Bible says that His mercy is new every morning. Today you have another fresh reason to celebrate the goodness of God, the great things that He has done. And you know, there's a saying that we have to dance like nobody's watching. Well, this is one of the opportunities that truly nobody is watching you where you're worshiping right now. So I want to challenge you. I want to invite you. The Bible says to worship the Lord with dancing, with singing, with shouting, with clapping your hands. I want you in defiant praise to lift up a shout of praise, to dance in the Spirit, to dance in the joy of the Spirit, because He has done, He is doing, He will do great things. We sing hallelujah one more time.
Oh, hallelujah, God, above it all. Hallelujah, God, unshakable. Hallelujah, You have done great things.
We sing hallelujah.
Hallelujah, God, above it all. Hallelujah, God, unshakable. Of heaven, You conquered the grave. You free every captive and break every chain. Oh God, You have done great.
We dance.
We dance in Your freedom, awakened alive. Oh Jesus, our Savior, Your name lifted high. Oh God, You have done great.
Amen. He's done great things. He's done great things. Well, I want to hand it over to my friend, my dear sister, Linda McCrae Fisher. She's going to lead us. Linda.
Oh, hasn't He done great things today? Great things in our homes. Even the fact that we get to all spend some time together. It might get a little crazy, but God is there with us, and He's so wonderful. He is the answer, even through all that we're going through, people. He is the answer for this world today. And I've sang this song for many, many, many years. And every time I sing it, I just believe it more and more. Jesus is the answer for this world today. My great friend Andre Crouch wrote this song, and him and all the ones that have gone before us, they're praying for us. Know that they're praying. And I want to encourage you today and let you know that no matter what it is, even beyond this COVID-19, He is the answer, and we want you to sing that with us today.
Jesus is the answer for the world today. Above Him there's no other.
Come on, sing it with us.
Jesus is the way. Jesus is the answer.
Yes, He is.
For the world.
I know He is. No other.
Jesus.
Turn to somebody in the house and sing it with us. Come on, say,
Jesus is the answer.
Yes, He is.
For the world today.
Above Him there's no other.
Above Him there's
no other.
Jesus is the way.
Jesus is.
Jesus is the answer. For the world today.
Above Him there's no other.
Above Him there's
no other.
Jesus is the way.
Listen, if you have a question in the corner of your mind, traces of discouragement, real peace you cannot find, reflections of your past seem to face you every day. Here's one thing I know for sure, that
Jesus is the way.
Everybody say,
Jesus is the answer for the world today. Above Him there's no other. is the way.
Come on and sing it.
Jesus is the answer for the world today. Above him there's no other. Jesus is the way.
Now I know you may have mountains in your life you cannot climb. Sometimes even the skies look gray, like the sun won't ever shine. But in case you did not know it, you see the word of God is true. Everything that my God promised,
he will do it for you. Jesus is the answer for the world today. Above him there's no one.
Here we go, say Jesus.
Jesus is the way.
I know he is, say
Jesus is the way.
Sing it again, say
Jesus is the way.
Tell somebody in the house this
Jesus
morning.
Jesus is the way.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Jesus is the way.
Lord, help us even now to fix our eyes upon you, the great author, the perfecter of our faith. Come be the lifter of our heads in the midst of trouble. Be our portion, our tower of strength evermore. So, Lord, we run to you.
Lord, I run to you. Thank you, Lord. No one else will do. Lord, in troubled times, I will run straight to you. Though my heart and flesh may fail,
you're my ever-present help.
You're my ever-present help. My tower of strength, my portion evermore. So Lord, I run
to you. I do. Oh,
no one else will do.
Lord, you said.
Lord, you said we face trouble, pain, and fear, but to be of good cheer,
oh, we will
be of good cheer, for you have overcome, you've overcome the world.
I lift my eyes up,
I lift my eyes up to the mountains. Where does my help come from? It comes from you, Lord. You are the maker of earth and heaven, and there is nothing that's too hard for you.
See it again, I live,
Lord, 'cause I lift my eyes up to the mountains. Where does my help? It comes from you, Lord. You are the maker of earth and heaven, and there is nothing that's too hard for you.
So we sing, Lord, I run to you.
Lord, I run to you.
'Cause nobody else, nothing else is going to do.
No one else will do.
Lord, I run to you.
Lord, I run to you.
We run to you.
no one else will do. So Lord, I run to you. The weapon may be formed, but it won't prosper. When the darkness falls, it won't prevail. 'Cause the God I serve knows only how to triumph. Oh, my God will never fail. Would you sing that with me, my God? Oh, my God will never fail. So I'm gonna sing, 'cause I'm gonna see a victory. 'Cause I'm gonna see a victory. For the battle belongs to you, Lord. 'Cause I'm gonna see a victory. 'Cause I'm gonna see a victory. For the battle belongs to you, Lord.
We celebrate that
there's power in the mighty name of Jesus. In every war he wages, he will win. Now I'm not backing down from any giants, 'cause I know how this story ends. I know how this story ends. I know how this story ends.
I'm gonna see.
Oh, I'm gonna see a victory. 'Cause I'm gonna see a victory. For the battle belongs to you, Lord. A victory, 'cause I'm gonna see a victory. For the battle belongs to you, Lord.
This is how he overcomes.
'Cause you take what the enemy meant for evil, and you turn it for good. You turn it for good.
Amen. You take.
'Cause you take what the enemy meant for evil, and you turn it for good. You turn it for good.
You take.
'Cause you take what the enemy meant for evil, and you turn it for good. You turn it for good.
You take.
'Cause you take what the enemy meant for evil, and you turn it for good. You turn it for good.
I'm gonna sing.
The name of the Lord our God. Oh, praise his name forevermore. For endless days we will sing your praise. Oh Lord, oh Lord our God.
Oh, praise the name.
Oh, praise the name of the Lord.
And the church said,
amen. Amen.
Well, hey, welcome, everybody. I'm so grateful that you have chosen to join us on this weekend. I've been praying for you and just so grateful for you. Whether you are part of CA on a regular basis, maybe you're a visitor or guest, maybe you just found us online, want to welcome you as we are kicking off a brand new series this week that we have entitled Hope Found Here, The Unshakable Promises of God. Well, it was a gorgeous afternoon in April of 2008 when two women's softball teams, they were collegiate level teams, one from Oregon, one from Washington, squared off in a divisional playoff game. The winner would move on in the tournament. The loser would be eliminated. And as the game progressed, a batter named Sarah Tucholsky came to bat. Now, Sarah was not a great hitter. She had a 153 batting average, and she had never actually hit a home run before. But with two runners on base, she connected with a curveball, and she sent it over the fence. And as you can imagine, her teammates went wild. She was excited. As she was beginning to round first base, she actually missed first base. And the coach said, hey, you got to come back and touch it. So as she turned to pivot, something in her knee popped and she went down in pain. In fact, she actually dragged herself to first base, and then on the first base bag, she actually looked up and asked the first base coach, what do I do? I can't walk. What do I do? Well, the umpire wasn't sure, but the one thing the umpire did know was that if any of Sarah's teammates assisted her to complete the home run trot, that she would be ruled out by the rules of the game. So her team couldn't help her, and her leg couldn't support her, and she was stuck on first base far from home. I think many of us have a lot in common with Sarah. We too have done our best, only to find at other times that we have stumbled, but not in softball, but in life. We have moments where we've done our best only to be followed by a trip or a fall in how we treat others and how we respond to God, maybe in our morality, our honesty, our integrity. And like Sarah, we can find ourselves in a weakened state, not only with maybe a torn ligament in our knee, but instead broken hearts and torn spirits and even kind of fading hope. The distance between where we are and where we want to be is impassable to make on our own strength. So when that happens, what do? Where do we turn? Well, one of the main ways that we can build a personal, growing, loving relationship with God is through knowing His promises. And so what we're going to do is each week in this series, we are going to look at a different promise of God straight from the Bible and discover that every single problem we face in life, God has already supplied us with a promise from His Word that is more than enough to meet the demands of the challenge. So we're going to jump into our first promise. We'll see what it has to do with Sarah and what it has to do with us when even our best efforts leave us stranded, far from home, unsure how to take our next step. Before we begin, let's pray. So God, we thank You, even now as we gather all around the city, and Lord, even people around the country have told me that they are watching and being encouraged by these services. So I pray now, would You meet with us as we come to Your Word? As we come to this first promise, would You so put it into our hearts and spirits that we could rely on it in the midst of challenging times? We pray that we would experience hope from Your unshakable promises. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, one of the great promises of God comes from the book of Hebrews, beginning in verse 14. I'll read it. It says this, "Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has ascended into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith that we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need." In other words, if I had to boil down this little segment to the promise of God, here's the promise of God. Our God gets us. The promise here is that we have a great high priest who is both compassionate enough to empathize with our weaknesses and powerful enough to make atonement for our sins and open God's throne room so that we can enter in with confidence to receive the mercy and the grace and the help we need in our times of need. Let me ask you, how many of you have felt like me that you need some help these days? Maybe you find that you're safer at home, but your patience is more tested than ever. Maybe you find your courage isn't enough whenever you find out that, you know, you're getting reduced hours at work, or maybe you've been furloughed. Maybe you're finding that your calm isn't enough in the midst of the storm and you need something more powerful. Maybe as you look ahead and we're all faced with innumerable decisions where we need wisdom, maybe you're realizing that your wisdom alone isn't going to be enough to give you the confidence and the courage and hope that you need. Jesus, according to God's word, was both God and man at the same time. And for this promise to be real, he had to be both God and man at the same time. You see, if he was only man, then certainly he could empathize with us. But the problem is, if he was only man, he couldn't provide any hope or any help. But if he was only God, then certainly we would worship him and revere him, probably at a distance, but we would be afraid to come in confidence into his throne room, to come near to receive the mercy and grace that we need in our times of weakness. He is, according to God's word, our great high priest, fully human and fully divine. Because of the first, we can relate to him. Because of the second, we can worship him. This promise means that whenever we stumble, we are not abandoned. It means that whenever we might fall, we're not left to wither in our weakness. In fact, Colossians chapter 1, verse 17 tells us this. It says, Jesus Christ is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in Jesus Christ, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. You know, it's hard for us to imagine what it's like to be around someone who's as powerful as what we just read. I love the story from the author Max Lucado, who told once about being around someone who was like him, but completely not like him in many other ways. Max tells the story that he was at a retreat when the famed basketball star David Robinson arrived. Now, if you don't know about David Robinson, he's 7'1". He's an NBA All-Star. He was an MVP, 3-time Olympian, 2-time NBA champion. He was a collegiate All-American. His body was ripped. His skills were honed. His basketball IQ was legendary. Max writes and says, by the end of the first day of the retreat, someone came to me and asked, do you think there's any chance that David would play basketball with us? Now, us was a collection of middle-aged but pudgy, well-meaning, out-of-shape guys. Their bodies were plump, their skills were pathetic, their basketball IQ was slightly less than that of a squirrel. But Max, he asked David, and David graciously said yes, so the game was scheduled for later in the retreat. And when the day came for the game began, and it was clear that David was just being gracious. He was holding himself back some. But even still, he played basketball on a whole different level that others on the court couldn't even dream of. I mean, he could catch the ball in his hand like it was only a tennis ball. His passes were like a missile. But at one point, he let loose. With 3 strides, he headed towards the rim, and the pudgy opposition cleared a path, rightfully so. He jumped and his head was level with the rim, and he slammed the ball home with such force that the basketball backboard was left shaking. Well, everybody on the court just kind of stood in awe and gulped, and David smiled at them. Max concludes writing, "We may have shared the same court, but we did not share the same power." I think that's how it is with Jesus. We may have shared the same earth. We may have walked on the same planet that he's walked on. We may have faced some of the same challenges, but he won where we lost. When Jesus commands demons to leave, they left. When he commanded a storm to be stilled, it was. When he told the daughter dead daughter of someone to sit up and told a dead friend to rise. She did, and he did. And yet, with all this power, Jesus took the form, Scripture tells us, of a humble servant. He experienced all of the same temptations and even weaknesses that we do. He knew what it was like to be weary enough to want to sit down and take a rest by a well. He knew what it was like to be tired enough to fall asleep in a boat. He knew what hunger was like in the wilderness, and he knew what thirst was like on the cross. He knew what it was like to be isolated from community and from friends, and even worse, he knew what it was like to be betrayed and denied by them. His nerve endings knew the pain of nails, and his lungs called and clamored for his next breath on the cross well before any ventilator was ever even invented. Jesus would have been safer at home had he stayed in heaven, but his love compelled him to not be safer at home without us. Listen to our words these days. Safety is the longing of our heart, and I believe that's part of our God-given stamped image. We are rightly told that we are safer at home. People sign off their emails or phone calls these days by saying, be safe or stay safe. Our heart's desire is to be safe, to find safety, to be saved. Jesus, our great high priest, came and then died to make safety available to each one of us for eternity, but also to help us now in our weaknesses right here and right now. Now, does this promise really even matter? Well, if you've ever wondered if God understands what you're going through today, it matters. If you've ever wondered if God listens, then this promise matters. If you've ever wondered if God can empathize with the fear and the worry and the whipsaw of emotions that we're feeling, the anxiety and the concerns that you have from COVID-19 and the economy, then this promise matters. He is our great high priest who understands and empathizes with our weaknesses. These days, I want to ask you, are you feeling troubled in spirit? Jesus felt that too. Are you feeling so anxious that maybe you could die? Jesus felt that too. Do you feel so overwhelmed with grief? Jesus, according to God's word, felt that too. Have you prayed recently loud prayers with cries and tears? Well, Jesus, we're told, did that too. This promise gives us the hope that Jesus gets us, and he understands and empathizes with all that we are facing. And so what that means is you can bring your troubles, you can bring your anxieties, your doubts, your griefs, your tears, and your worries to him. You know, some people have said, well, if Jesus was sinless, then he couldn't really understand the full force of what it's like to have sinned. But I would argue that Jesus actually felt an even greater weight of the force of sin on his life. How so? Well, do this little thought experiment with me. Imagine a person is outside of a car. He's in front of the car. The car's moving forward, let's say at 5 miles an hour, and the person is in front of the car trying to push against it and hold it back. Now imagine a person is inside the car that's moving forward at 5 miles an hour. Who really is experiencing the force of the car in motion? It's the person outside the car, right, that's pushing against it. Because the person who's inside the car is just going along with the force, and so you don't feel it as much. It's the same with sin. Jesus stood outside and pushed against it. He felt a greater weight of sin than we ever would feel because we've given in and go along with sin where he never has. Plus, we're told that after leading a sinless life, he volunteered to literally become sin so that you and I could have the opportunity to be freed from its power. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21 says this, God made him, speaking of Jesus, who had no sin, to be sin for us, so that in him, in Jesus, we might become the righteousness of God. What that verse means is that all the shame, all the guilt, all the remorse, all the embarrassment, all the humiliation that you've ever felt from your sin, Jesus understands it all. He understands, and he's compassionate, and he empathizes with our weaknesses. And he can help you access the mercy and the grace you need from the throne room of God. Because he is our great high priest, he comes not only to forgive you, but also to redeem you. Well, you remember Sarah Tucholsky. When we left her, she was stranded on first base with what turned out to be a torn ACL. She was a long way from home. She had no way to get there. She couldn't walk. Her teammates were barred from helping her by the rules of the softball game. The umpires were huddled together in discussion. Fans were actually shouting for Sarah to be carried off the field because they didn't want to see her left there struggling. But she didn't want to leave. She wanted to stay on the field. She wanted to make it all the way home. But it seemed hopeless until Mallory Holtman came up with a solution. You see, Mallory was actually a player on the opposing team. She played for Central Washington University, and she was a senior. And she wanted the victory to move on in the playoffs more than anyone. She knew that a loss could end her season. You might think that maybe Mallory would have been happy to see the home run not be completed, but she wasn't. So she walked up to the umps, and she said, as the umps were huddled together, "Hey, can I help her around the bases?" The umps turned to her and said, "Why would you want to do that?" And before she could answer, the umps shrugged and kind of said, "Well, if you want to, you can. There's no rules against it." So Mallory signaled to her other teammate, a shortstop, to help. And the two of them walked over to Sarah, a long way from home with a torn ACL, and said, "We're going to pick you up and we are going to carry you around the bases all the way home." The mission of mercy and redemption began. They stopped at each base, gently placing Sarah's healthy foot on each base, on second base, and on third base, and then all the way home. Sarah's teammates had gathered around home plate, and Sarah, as you can imagine, had a huge smile on her face, and well, she would. And why would she have the smile on her face? Because the only one who could help did help. The only one who could redeem Sarah's situation chose to intervene and redeem Sarah's situation. And because she did, Sarah made it all the way home. Our great high priest, Jesus Christ, offers to do the same for you and me. Longing to be home, but stranded far from it, unable to make it home on our own power by ourselves, the only one who could help did help. Here's what God's word tells us in Hebrews 9, verse 12. With his own blood, not the blood of goats or of calves, Jesus entered into the most holy place once for all time and secured our redemption forever. That most holy place was the throne room of God. It was a section in the temple on earth that actually was pointing to the reality in heaven. That word redemption, when it says that Jesus secured our redemption forever, it means to liberate someone from an oppressive situation or to ransom someone by making a form of a payment for them. You see, Mallory paid to redeem Sarah's situation by voluntarily choosing to lose so that Sarah could come home and win. Likewise, our great high priest, Jesus, voluntarily chose to lay down his life so that he could carry each one of us home and redeem us and secure our redemption forever. But here's the key. When Mallory came to Sarah, who was on the first base with the torn ACL, promising to carry her home, Sarah had a choice. It was her defining moment. She could have said no to the promise to be carried all the way home. She could have said, "You know, I don't think it's that bad. I'll just try to do it on my own." If she had, she would have stayed at first base until the game was called on the account of time. She could have said, "You know, I don't really think that you're able to do that. I don't really trust in your ability to carry me and help me." She could have said, I don't really think I can trust your promise until I can answer every single question I have about you and how you have the power to be able to do that and why you would even offer it to me. But you know what Sarah said to the offer that Mallory gave her, that promise of redemption in her state of weakness? She simply said, thank you. She responded to the promise that she was offered to be redeemed and taken all the way home. She responded by faith and by trust. And you can too. In fact, 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 4 and 5 says this about the promises of God. Because of his glory and excellence, God has given us great and precious promises. And as I've already mentioned, each week we're going to look at a different one. These are the promises. Now here's what they do. They enable you to share his divine nature and escape the world's corruption caused by human desires. And here's the key line. In view of all of this, in view of all of what God's offering you, in view of all of this, make every effort to respond to God's promises. Let me invite you and myself as well. Let's make every effort to respond to God's promises. The promise that he can sympathize with our weaknesses, but he can also offer us the strength we need to redeem us. That he's made possible that promise for us through our great high priest, the one and the only Jesus Christ. Will you pray with me? As we come to God in prayer, let me ask you, where do you need God's help to overcome a temptation you've been facing? Where do you need his forgiveness? Maybe you're feeling tempted to worry these days in the midst of the crisis, and I think it's understandable. You need someone that can empathize with you, but you also need someone that can rescue you from a lifetime of worry, and that's what Jesus can do. Maybe you are finding yourself these days with the temptation to turn to drugs to comfort you, or maybe food and alcohol in an unhealthy way to comfort you instead of God. You need someone who can empathize with your desire for comfort, but can give you a greater comfort than you can ever find in a substance. Maybe you're facing a temptation to take out your stress, economic or health stress, with someone you're living with, instead of bringing it to God and receiving his fresh peace and his fresh strength. Maybe you've been short-tempered with your spouse or a roommate or your kids or even a coworker online. Maybe you're tempted to hoard out of fear. You're trying to save your way to salvation. Maybe you're tempted to stop being generous and stop giving, even though you haven't lost your job. Just hearing that maybe some others are has created fear in you. Maybe the temptation to be safer at home has stopped you from reaching out via phone calls or texts to neighbors and others to encourage them. What is the temptation that you're facing or maybe even have given into? Will you bring that temptation to God? Will you trust that he's compassionate enough to empathize, but strong enough to redeem you and forgive you, to give you fresh strength even now, so that your story can be different because of what Jesus has done? Some of you, maybe you've never given your life to Jesus Christ. You know that there's a longing in your heart to be safer at home, and you know we're not just talking about your home here on earth or your home and your apartment building. But you're also recognizing that you're not going to be able to get yourself all the way home to heaven. You need someone to come and help you in your weakened estate. And the good news is, according to God's word, that there is only one who could come. And the good news is that he's chosen to come. There's only one mediator between God and man, and that is Jesus Christ. God made him who knew no sin to become sin, so that by faith in Jesus, as you trust him to be your advocate, mediator, and great high priest before God, you can become the righteousness of God. If you want to say yes to Jesus, I encourage you to do that now. You can pray with me by just saying, God, I need your help. I have a longing to come all the way home to heaven, to be with you, but I know I can't do it on my own. I need you to carry me all the way home by your strength one day at a time. Would you do that? Would you not only be compassionate on my weaknesses and forgive me by your mercy, but would you give me the grace and strength I need in my times of challenge? Listen, if you said yes to Jesus Christ and you've committed your life to him, would you let us know? There's a way for you to respond on the bottom of the screen. I want to encourage you that because you've said yes to Jesus, you are welcomed into the family of God, and your redemption is secure as you continue to trust him and follow him all the way home. This week, be encouraged. For every single challenge that you will face, not only this week, but throughout your whole life, there is already a promise of God that stands ready to give you and I fresh hope, new peace, and incredible strength to see you through it. And when those times of weakness come, those times of worry or fear, let us, as God's word tells us, approach God's throne of grace with confidence. Not confidence in ourselves, but in our great high priest who has opened the throne room to us so that we might receive first the mercy as well as the grace to help us in our time of need. And as you do that, God's word promises and tells us that because of that, God will equip you with all that you need for doing his will. As you come to him, into his throne room, seeking his grace and mercy and strength, God will produce in you, through the power of Jesus Christ, every good thing that is pleasing to him. And as our great high priest comes to meet us in our time of crisis to carry us all the way home, one merciful and redemptive step and day at a time, like Sarah Tucholsky, may our lips and may our lives be marked with a humble and genuine thank you every single day as we walk with him. In Jesus' name, amen.
How great the chasm that lay between us, how high the mountain I could not climb. In desperation, I turned to heaven and spoke your name into the night. Then through the darkness, your loving kindness tore through the shadows of my soul. The work is finished, the end is written. Jesus Christ, my living hope.
Let's all sing together. Who could imagine?
Who could imagine so great a mercy? What heart could fathom such boundless grace? The God of ages stepped down from glory to wear my sin and bear my shame.
This is why
the cross has spoken. I am forgiven. The King of Kings calls me his own. Beautiful Savior, I'm yours forever. Jesus Christ, my living hope.
Hallelujah!
Hallelujah! Praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah! Death has lost its grip on me. In every chain, there's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ.
thank you so much for joining with us today online. It's a pleasure to worship with you. Hey, we just want to encourage you, if you made a decision to follow Jesus, we want to invite you to send us an email. Let us know. We want to be with you in this. We want to celebrate with you, and we want to follow up with you. We want to share how to get involved in our church, encourage you as you follow Jesus with your life. So thank you so much for following with us. Another friendly reminder that we have daily touch points with a pastor every day on our social media. So if you need a word of encouragement, tune in on Facebook. You can check us out on Instagram, but be with us in that series. And then every Wednesday, our very own Pastor Tom Hughes offers digital discipleship. So this is your chance to get filled up and to be trained in this season of how to be a follower of Jesus. So thank you for joining us today. Blessings on you, CA, and may you go in peace.